Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Father, thank you and bless those, hallelujah, that come on tonight that hear this, either currently or hear it later. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor. So, God was showing me something, or I believe it was God. And did you ever stop to think what God feels like, or did you ever try to put yourself in God's shoes? Did you ever try to think what it must be like to be Him, and what's His heart towards us and towards the earth? And it's really impossible to do, of course, because we're not that smart. But one of the things that I feel like God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved people so much that He was willing to give His life in our behalf, and not just those of us who love Him, but it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. It says He died for the sins of the whole world, and that means He loves people, even people who will never serve Him, will never love Him, will never give back, will never even understand. You know, I know people who are angry at God because they're angry at Christians, or they feel like God is too judgmental, or probably what they feel is Christians have been too judgmental. And so they want nothing to do with Him, but He still loves them. And so as I've pondered this question, not just tonight, but really for a long time, I want to know how God feels and what is pleasing to Him. What have you ever wondered what makes His day, or what would be pleasing to Him? What would be the equivalent of washing His feet with an expensive nard? So expensive, they said it was worth 1 to 3 years of a man's salary. You know, what would make Him feel blessed or satisfied or happy? And there's a lot of answers to this in the Word of God. But the Word of God talks a lot about what's pleasing to Him. And the one thing I want to focus on a little bit today is that what pleases Him is when we are His ambassadors. It is pleasing to God when He is represented properly. You know, one day I was driving in the car some years ago, and I was asking God, I said, what would make your day? What is it that would make you happy? And He said, in an almost urgent voice, He said, I want to be vindicated. People don't understand who I am. People have said terrible things about me, and other people have believed it. And for years, even in the church, God, you know, thankfully this has gotten better in the past couple decades. But at one time, God was presented as an angry God, a judgmental God, a harsh God. And so He said to me, I want to be vindicated. I want people to understand who I really am and what my heart is towards them. And so our job is to represent Him. And if I could say it this way, not just to be an ambassador for Him, but to literally represent who He is. In other words, if He is loving, we are loving. If He is speaking a certain word to someone, we are speaking that word. If He is weeping, we are weeping. To represent God faithfully, you know, and in a true way should be our goal. And so I want to read you some scriptures. These are fascinating scriptures. And I'm not sure what order I'm going to share them in, but one of the things I want to say to you is that the Word of God was given to us by the Holy Spirit. He's our true mentor. So you have to think, you know, because it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Here it is, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now that's interesting because we know it was breathed out by the Holy Spirit, and His name, His real name is Ruach HaKodesh, or the breath of the Holy One. He is the breath of God. And so the scriptures were breathed out by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to get to is this. In the scriptures, I imagine this, I could be wrong about this, but I imagine that as the Holy Spirit was breathing inspiration to man to write to us, He wanted to teach us about the Father. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 for a minute. Starting in verse 10, it says, To us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Think about this. The Holy Spirit, who is God, searches the depths of God. Think about this. This is huge. It says, verse 11, For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So nobody knows what's going on with God except the Holy Ghost in the earth, right? It says, Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Listen to this. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So I imagine that the Holy Spirit was thinking, here is a people under the fall, right? When the fall happened, we were cut off from communion with God. There was a break in communication. Remember, prior to that, God walked with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. He walked with him every day. They were the best of friends. They talked openly. Isn't that amazing? And yet, when the fall happened, there was a break, a cut in communication. But much more than that, as humans, our ability to hear or see or perceive were darkened. So even if God did talk to us, we couldn't grasp it. We didn't get it. We were dull of hearing. You know, Jesus was often talked about us being dull of hearing, you know, very, very thrilling. I remember when I was young in the Lord, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's a scripture he gave to me. In other words, Holly, you're too dull. You're not getting it yet. And he wants us, part of the restoration of the fall, and part of what Jesus died for is to restore us back into garden state where we can have an open communication with the Father in a much more open way. So I imagine that the Holy Spirit is inspiring the scriptures, and he's thinking, what will I teach them about the Father? How will they know the Father? How will they know the works of Jesus? How will they know all those things that are freely given to them, what I just read? It says, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. In other words, we can't even really know all that we have. So this is pretty exciting to me, because if you look at 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 3, it says, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now I'm going to break this up. I'll read the whole thing and then we go back and break it up. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. What? You can become a partaker of the divine nature, God's nature. You know, if you had said this, let's just go into the 1800s, and you said this without quoting a scripture, they would have thought that was blasphemy. But here it is written right here by the Holy Spirit. So let's break it up a little. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that is essentially saying that everything you and I will ever need in this life to get through this life and do it well and find victory and win and to walk in godliness. Godliness is godlikeness, being like God, being like him. Now, it says his divine power has given us all things that pertain to that. So if we don't know how to walk in it, it's that saying, he's given us everything that we need to figure out how to walk in it. How do we do it? Through the knowledge of him, through knowing him, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. I bet you didn't know that you were called to glory and virtue. How cool is that? By which, okay, so he's talking about the knowledge of him, the knowledge of God, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, through those promises, knowing them through the promises, knowing, it says, then actually knowing him, excuse me, through the promises, right? So I'm putting the words together, but that's what it's saying. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, knowing God. How? Through the great and precious promises, so that through them we become partakers of the divine nature. So that's just almost too good to be true, isn't it? And what it's saying is that as an ambassador here, you actually have dwelling in you. If you're born again, you have been given every single thing that you need to actually represent God exactly. Now, as you know, you've probably heard me talk about this a lot, but we don't have the ability in our flesh to do it. So what he did was he filled us with his own power. When you were born again, you were filled with the connection point to heaven. Before that, you would not have been able to house the Holy Spirit. There had to be a new wineskin for there to be new wine, right? You've probably heard me say this before, but I'm just going to repeat it. When you were born again, I believe that was the new wineskin. It was like a new you, right? Remember, it says that he recreated you when you're born again. You became a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, I make all things new. You are a new creation. So you don't have to always trip over your mishaps or stumble over the fact that maybe you made a mistake. And a lot of people, I think, worry about, it is good to try to live godly in Christ Jesus. But if you really understand, if you come to understand how God wants to do that through you, instead of it being a fretful, condemning sentence, something we try to do and fail, it becomes almost a way of letting him do it through us. It's like a way of allowing Jesus to live through us by the Holy Spirit. So he recreated you the day you were born again, the day you said the sinner's prayer, and I pray everyone on here has said that prayer and meant it. And what happened is that day, there was an explosion in heaven. There was a real living transaction. It isn't just a parable or a nice idea. You became a new person in the Spirit without all your faults. I became a new person in the Spirit without all my faults. Now, does it mean my faults went away? No, they're still here in my flesh, right? Those get worked out over time as we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, as we're set free. It's a journey. So the whole thing is allowing Jesus to live through us by the Holy Spirit. That born-again Spirit that recreated you was given to you as the temple of God. We'll say it that way. You might see it as an empty sack. When you're born again, right, your flesh still exists, your mind still exists. If something bad happened to you when you were three, you may still remember it or still carry the scars in your soul, right? That didn't get recreated. You may have anger issues. That didn't get recreated, usually. But your born-again spirit is a brand new. It's the you that you would have been in the garden. It's the you as Adam was before he fell. It's you, perfect, your born-again spirit. It's you made in the image of Jesus. And so this is why it's such a big deal to learn how to commune with God through that born-again spirit. And the reason is the Holy Spirit, if you were filled with the Spirit, if you ever prayed the prayer to be baptized or filled with the Spirit or led by the Spirit, right? Remember the disciples, they knew Jesus. They followed him for several years. They were his closest companions, and yet they needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? It's a second act. Well, when that happens, the Holy Spirit infills that sack or that temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. Know ye not that your body's temple of the Holy Spirit? But he said he couldn't pour new wine unless there was a new wine skin. In other words, he can't baptize someone in the Spirit unless they have a new wineskin or unless they're born again. Because he said it would tear, right? He said nobody puts a new cloth on an old cloth, right? It's going to tear. So the idea is you get born again, you get filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God who searches, we just read earlier, who searches the depths of God, he communicates to our spirit the things that God is doing and saying. So when you open the scriptures and you're trying to understand how God is speaking to you, what's he saying to me? You know, I have all these questions. the Holy Spirit will actually lead and guide you through those scriptures. And quite often you'll feel like it's just happenstance, but you'll come upon a scripture and you can almost feel the Holy Spirit doing that, wow, 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 like, that's the answer. That's what I was just looking for. And what's he doing? He's speaking to you through the Word because the Word is alive. Now, this is a strange concept, but the Word of God is actually alive. It's living. And so it has an active force all the time. Now, I noticed I can have a Bible study. Let's say that I do my daily study and I read my chapters. And most days I'll have a number of things that really speak to me, and I keep my little notes. You know, I have a spreadsheet and I keep my notes. But there are some days where I say, you know, amen, that's really good, but I didn't really get any big ta-da out of the scriptures. But here's what I saw. Quite often, late at night, after that whole thing is done, I can feel the life of God from the scriptures themselves. It's not that I'm hearing a scripture, but there's a life force that's in those scriptures. It's alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. There's a living force in those scriptures because, you know why? They were spoken by the Holy Spirit, who is God. And when God says something, it is life, and it is eternal. So it isn't that it just happens, that it's that it keeps on going. Unless he says stop, it's still going. So, because there's so much life in it. So God is trying to, he's given us everything we need in the Word and by the Holy Spirit. And our problem, I think, because of, you know, maybe religious stuff or misunderstanding, you know, we might read a scripture and feel like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this, I'm not supposed to be doing that. And we make this grid of what we will allow and what we won't allow. You know, oh, I'm not supposed to do this, oh, I'm supposed to do that. And it becomes this set of do's and don'ts. And the honest truth is we're not very able to do that well in our flesh, are we? The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men that ever lived, was not able to do it. He said in Romans 7, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, the thing I would do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that I do. Help. So what was he talking about? He was talking about, he said it in the scriptures, I think just above there. He said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. So me trying to do the grid of good and bad, do's and don'ts in my flesh, it becomes almost a condemning sentence because I'm not really able to do that well. And I believe that that is a false Christianity. You know, and you may really love God and be doing that. And I know because I love God with all my heart. But before I understood these matters, I was living under a condemning sentence, trying to do all the do's and don'ts and failing and even sometimes succeeding, but always measuring myself and not measuring up. And because of it, it was causing me to have break in relationship with my Father when he saw no such break. He doesn't look at it that way at all. What happened? I had the wrong grid. So let's try to look at it this way. As the Holy Spirit infills us and we learn how to shift, it's like shifting your weight, so to speak. Do you ever shift your weight from one foot to another? Well, if you could imagine trying to be a good Christian and trying to do it with your head and saying, oh, okay, I'm supposed to do this, I'm not supposed to do that, oh, I shouldn't say that, oh, I shouldn't have said that, and you beat yourself. Did you ever say something and then beat yourself up all night because you think you shouldn't have said it? I think that's probably happened to all of us. Certainly has happened to me. But I think what God is trying to say is, if we could stop assessing our grid, so to speak, kind of throw that out. Now, we're still going to keep the scriptures, and we're still even going to keep the do's and don'ts, because those are guidelines for us to pray into. So here's something. Let's say I have something that I've tried to do, can't do. Let's say I have something as well that I've tried not to do and can't seem to stop doing, right? And let's say I've tried this for 3 months and I've just been an abysmal failure. Do you ever have something like that? And now I take that whole thing and I take it before the altar and I say, I don't have this ability at all. I've tried to do this. I've tried not to do that. And what I see, Lord, is just what Paul saw. The thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that I do. In my flesh, dwells no good thing. I don't seem to have the ability to do these things you said. Well, what is the problem? Is the problem me, or is the problem I'm using the wrong process? And you guessed it. The problem is I was using the wrong process because I'm looking at Christianity through an earthly filter. And so when God got this through to me, it took a while. You may say, Holly, you talk about this all the time. Yes, I do. And the reason is I see the suffering in the body of Christ. I see people hurting because they feel like they're failing God. Here's the thing. The Bible says God remembers our frame, that we are dust. You know? And so when you truly get that revelation, you know that God knows. He knew when he created us. He knew when we fell. He knew. He knows us. He knows that there's going to be times when we zig when we should have zagged. This is a normal thing. And so what he has done is put in us his own perfection, because he loved us so much. It's like saying you can't fail. And so the process isn't that you just stop trying. The process is that you stop trying to do it with your ability and your mind and your thinking and your emotions and your will, right? You put all that on the altar, all of it, your want-tos, all your knowledge. You just put all of it in the altar. Your expectations. I feel like I'm talking to someone that you have expectations of the way things should be. I'm actually hearing the Lord. I'm actually hearing that you have expectations of yourself that are higher standards than God has. You have demanded things of yourself. And you know what it is? The enemy wants to beat you up. And so he has made you feel like you can never measure up because the standard is not correct. So let's take all that and put it on the altar and let it burn. And instead of that, let's say, Holy Spirit, I can't seem to do this. I'll be very honest with you. This is how I do absolutely everything in life. I'm called upon to do things all the time that truly I can't do. And I know that I can't. It's not like I'm trying to be humble. I'm telling you, I am called upon all the time to do things that are absolutely beyond me, beyond my ability, beyond my knowledge base, things that are uncomfortable or scary or I really don't want to do. But I've learned the process is I bring it before God. I say, you know, and I know that I don't have the ability to do this, but I'm calling upon your grace to do it through me. And what's just happened, I've given him legal right to flow through me by the Spirit, flowing through his Spirit, then through my born-again Spirit, then communicating that through my mouth, my eyes, or my hands, I'm able to actually represent Jesus. When it happens, believe me, I know it wasn't Holly. It wasn't because I did anything right. It wasn't because I had great skill. I've watched God do amazing things. And people who don't know better come and try to compliment me. And it's like, okay, that's so far out in left field. I didn't do anything right except learn the process of allowing God to put his divine power through me. It's his power. And so let's just give an example. Some of you may have been in meetings where we're at a retreat and God releases, let's say, a word of knowledge about healing, someone's healing. And sometimes they're very specific. And we love when the testimonies come back because sometimes God will release such a specific word. You know, I've had him call out, your L5 disc has been diagnosed and it's been bulging and, you know, whatever. I don't know anything about anatomy, but God will let us, not just me, but pretty much whoever's standing in the front. And he'll give us some specifics to say, now what just happened? That didn't come from my mind. My will or emotions couldn't have come up with that. I don't know anything about people. By the way, I was healed that way once because somebody did that to me. What just happened? God himself made connection through a human body to another person representing Jesus. They are now, this middle person is just the ambassador, right? They are speaking in his behalf or touching in his behalf. Now, God wants to use every believer as a shining example not to show them off and not to, you know, make us feel prideful as though, you know, people are still kind of funny sometimes when they got used, like it makes them important or makes them a big deal. You're already important. You're already valuable. You already have God's stamp of approval. When he uses you, it's not because of any of that. It's because, it's not because you're righteous. It's because he's righteous and his righteousness lives in you. It's not because you're good. It's because his goodness is flowing through you. And once you get a hold of it, if you steadfastly refuse to take the credit for it, if you steadfastly give him all the glory and praise and honor because it's only him, then what happens is he says, okay, I can do that a little more with them. Oh, that person, look, I just used them to do a little thing and they remained faithful to give me the glory. They also truly understood. They weren't pretending. They understood it wasn't anything they did right. I can give them a little bit more. And he'll watch how you handle that. And he'll put you on a bigger project. Maybe you'll do that. And you'll manifest God in the earth. Because that's the whole purpose. God desires for us to manifest him in the earth. Not just talk about him. We have, I'm going to say something that's going to sound unkind. But I think we have a lot of parroting in the body of Christ. People learn, they hear a good preacher, okay, and maybe something good is said, and then people start to parrot it. Now, what was said may be good, and it may be true, but the first guy probably spoke it by the power of the Spirit. And so because of that, it contained life, it contained power. But when the next guy says it, it'll depend on his level of relationship with God, his communion, his anointing, what he's walking in. So we've had people say the same exact set of words, one that has enough power to knock you off your feet, and the next one, it's just like dry bones. Now, why is that? Because the second one was only parroting something they heard that sounded good, but they weren't allowing the Holy Spirit to move through them. And if they were, then what would happen is the Holy Spirit might say something different this time. In fact, he usually does. So your eyes can be used of God. Your hands can be used of God. I had a friend who was in Thailand. She was a missionary in Thailand. And she needed a healing. And she didn't know a single Christian except the few students that she had brought to the Lord. And she was training them. And so they would pray for her, but she really, you know, was requesting prayer. So we were on the phone and I said, this is going to sound strange, but I'm going to push a healing to you. And I didn't pray with words, just with my spirit, I pushed healing to her. Now, I know that sounds funny, but remember, he said you're a partaker of the divine nature. He said it in his word. So what I'm saying is, when I did that, she said, how are you doing that? I said, I don't really know. I don't really know. I just know that the Holy Spirit in me has healing power for you. You're on the other side of the planet, but that doesn't bother him, so I'm just going to push it over to you. You see, you have a lot more power flowing through you than you know. I think our problem is we've tried to do it all in our fleshy and realm, and it doesn't work. And so we felt like, oh, maybe I don't have the anointing. I assure you, you have 100% of the anointing. You have 100% of the gifting. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, his gifts live in you. His power lives in you. His prophetic move lives in you. The words of God, it all lives in you. And it's a continual flow. It's not this, static. That's not the word I'm looking for, but it's not just this thing that never changes. You have to picture it like rivers of living water, something that's ever moving, ever going on. And the closer you are in that flow, the better you get at moving in the flow of the Spirit, the easier it gets to just flow and flow and flow, until instead of being used once a week, you're just used every day, and you know, and it goes on from there, that you can just stand and boom, 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 boom. It's a journey to grow, to be better and better at the walk of the Spirit or the flowing of that river. It's ever moving, right? But it's a huge, to me, it's like this amazing honor and privilege. Why would God pick humans like us? You know, to be honest, we're kind of stinky. And I remember saying to God one time, I was in the car, I was like, how do you even like us? How can you love us? I don't even like us. You know, I see my own behavior sometimes. I think, well, good grief. And when I said it to him, he said this to me. He said, it's because I knew you when. I know you as you were intended to be. I don't see you with all your faults. I see you as you're gonna be if you won't quit and you keep pressing in. I see you. He sees us as these immortal beings that have been created in the image of God, as Adam was before the fall. Jesus died to make way, to open the doorway. He is the door. He is the door. Do you know that this is interesting? Ponder this. The Bible says that he's the door so that we may go in and out and find pasture. Well, why does it say in and out? If it just said you can go in and find pasture, that would mean, okay, at the end of your life, you go in and suddenly there's pasture. In and out implies we are able to go in and out of a place of his presence. Now think about this. In the Garden of Eden, remember after Adam and Eve fell, he couldn't afford to let them stay there. He had to oust them, remember, and block the way. And he put cherubim with flaming swords so they couldn't go back in, right? Do you think it's possible that when the veil was torn, right? Which, by the way, Hebrews says that veil is his body. His flesh was torn because he was the opening between heaven and earth. The veil between heaven and earth was forever torn, can never be put together again. I am the door. The door to what? The Holy of Holies. Everything you'll ever need. The Garden of Eden, Garden State. He died to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, our souls, but much more than that. What was lost in the garden? Everything we had spiritually. Communion with God, open eyes. Eyes like Isaiah had in Isaiah 6. Eyes able to be open and to behold the glory of God. He said, I saw the Lord. I saw him. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah saw him. Do you know that in you, you have eyes to see? They're not these two eyes. Do you know that in you, in your born-again spirit, you have ears to hear? You have a heart to perceive and understand. You actually have the mind of Christ. But it's not the same as your carnal mind or your physical eyes and ears and hearts. Not the same. But they're both living in one body. So life is a continual journey of learning how to not operate out of this stuff that you're seeing here, 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 but the inner man, which is full of God. So there's a continual learning of how to flip the switch and allow God to do and say whatever he wants, even when it doesn't make sense to your mind. So quite often, a true prophecy from God, even while you're saying it, your mind is thinking, oh, this is pretty out there. Hope this was God. I remember a few months ago, I was praying with someone, and the doctors wanted to, it was a lady who was pregnant, and there was a physical problem that was very serious. They thought she was going to lose the child. They wanted to abort. She said, absolutely not. And they called, and Lori and I were on the phone, on speakerphone, praying. And we prayed, we each prayed whatever the Holy Spirit gave us. See, when the Holy Spirit whispers something to you quietly on your insides, and you speak it, that is speaking God's words. That is the same as him speaking it. He has to have your mouth. He needs your mouth in the earth, okay? He needs to use your mouth, but he needs you to use your mouth to speak his words. Now, here's what happened. Each of us said whatever we felt led to say, because we're speaking the word of God. You know, we're trying to hear properly, doing our best to hear exactly what he's saying. And then God says to me, I want you to sing. That's a little odd, but okay. So I sing, and I'm singing in tongues, right? I'm singing in the spirit. And then I realize I'm supposed to speak to this baby. And I say, now this is out there, right? Take some faith. And you feel like a dope in the flesh. When you're prophesying, quite often, you don't just feel, sometimes you can feel the rush of it, and you know. But there's times when you're thinking, boy, I sure hope this is you, because I'm going to look like a fool if you don't come to pass, you know, if this doesn't come to pass. So after we said what we said, I sang the song, I felt like I was supposed to speak to that baby. I felt like I was supposed to say, baby, you are safe now. You're safe. Everything's okay. You're safe. And I remember my flesh thinking, Lord, I know this is you. This better be all right. Because think how bad I'm going to feel if anything's to happen. Well, that baby was born absolutely perfect, normal delivery, perfect, healthy, perfect God baby. Now, did I do anything right? No. All I did was open the gateway, try my best to hear, what is God saying? Lori's trying her best to hear, what is God saying? And what we've done, if we can hear and say, what we've done is we've allowed God to speak through us, like, let there be light, and there is. When you do it that way, you'll often see a miracle, and it isn't because you operated in great faith. This is a different matter. This is a way of releasing God's power through the Holy Spirit, through your spirit man, through your mouth, or through your eyes, or through your hands, or whatever way he does. Whatever he tells you to do, do. You know, at the wedding in Cana, I'm going to close with this. His mom, he said, woman, what do I have to do? It's not my time yet. And she turned to the servants and she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And that is the key to miracles. That is the key to victory. That is the key to winning. That is the key to success in business. That is the key to all things. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, did it make sense to go fill these giant jars? I mean, they were giant. Big enough, they say, big enough for a man to fit in. And they filled all these with water. Did that make any sense? Can you imagine being the steward, the head guy? Now he says, now, okay, dip out of there and go take it. Okay. You'd be thinking, well, I sure hope you're right, because I'm going to, you know, lose my job here if I show up with water, right? It takes guts. And you know, most people who say, well, I don't hear from God, the fact is most people do, I think, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're born again, you do hear from God. But what happens is our fear of what people think or what people will say or what if I'm wrong. But you know what? If you just work with God and learn his ways, you'll find he's always right. You know, that I've been doing this since I was 26, I think, probably 27, right in there. 64, do you know that in the whole of my life, God has not once ever embarrassed me. He has never put me in a position where I felt badly about having given a word. Does it mean I've been perfect? No, no. But I want to tell you this. If you will ask the Lord to help you, he will grow you. Accuracy doesn't just come. It's not like, oh, you just flip a switch and you hear from God perfectly. It's a journey of growing in relationship. You're growing in trust. You're growing in understanding what his voice sounds like. The way that he speaks a million different ways. With me, quite often, it's not a voice at all. It's a picture in my mind's eye. I see a little picture play out, like a little mini vision. It's not an open vision. You know, I don't see lightning and thunder from heaven. It's usually very, very, very faint. But it's a picture in my mind's eye. But over time, I learned, oh, that's how he's speaking to me. He speaks other ways too. But what I'm saying to you is, it doesn't matter if you missed it once or twice. It doesn't matter. God wants to develop you until you're so good at representing him. You just are able to lean in and say, what are we doing here, God? Let's say you're at the auto repair store and the guy is saying, well, you have to have this and that and this and that. And it's going to cost $1,247, you know, instead of just doing it or saying, no, I'm not doing it, or yes, I am doing it, you just kind of lean in. Holy Ghost, what do you say about this? You just lean in. Holy Ghost, what are you doing? What do you want to do? If he doesn't say anything, then go with the way of peace, whatever gives you peace, because that's him talking. If you're not sure, it's okay. God will fix it if we mess it up. Thank you, Lord. But if you live a lifestyle like this, you'll get very, 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 very good at hearing from God, and you'll get very good at winning, because that's how we walk in victory. Amen. So I love you and God loves you. I want to give you a quick announcement. We are doing We're doing a special getaway at Green Lake Conference Center in July. It's July 22nd through 24th. It's called Free Indeed. It has to do with kind of getting free in our soulish realm to unblock some of the things so the Spirit can flow more freely. Amen. So I love you. God loves you. And I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.